Welcome back to our continuing study of Christian beliefs. We're now going to look at chapter 16 and answer the question, what is death? What is death? I know that may seem obvious, but we need always to get a biblical understanding and biblical definitions to our terms if we're going to rightly and biblically understand the applications to both life and now death. Let's go ahead and look at what Mr. Grudem has shared with us. He says, at death, a Christian soul is immediately made perfect and enters into the presence of God. Amen. But it isn't until Christ returns that Christians experience full perfection for both body and soul. For at that time, their bodies will be raised and made perfect as well. So why do Christians die if Christ has defeated death? Why do Christians die? Well, first of all, know this, that death is not a punishment for Christians. Romans 8:1. No, death is not a punishment for Christians. Again, to understand both life and death biblically is to change everything. No, although Christ defeated death, when he defeated death when he rose from the dead, death will be the last of sin that he removes when he returns. Quote, the last enemy to be destroyed is death, 1 Corinthians 15:25 and 26. Know that death is going to linger until Christ returns, but for the Christian, even a lingering death does not control us, not in the here, not in the now, not in the forever. Amen. You see, it's not unusual for God to use hardship and pain, even death, to bring about good. We know this from Romans 8:28. And not all discipline has served to correct us when we've done wrong. Sometimes God will use discipline not to correct us, but instead to make us stronger, to strengthen us. It's another form of sanctification. You see, although Jesus never sinned, he still learned obedience through what he suffered, Hebrews 5:8. And Jesus himself was made perfect through suffering, Hebrews 2:10. So again, it just gives you another perspective on death. Death is not always what it appears to be. Preserving our life and general comfort is not our highest goal. It should never be our highest goal to avoid death and to preserve comfort. Instead, obedience to God and faithfulness in every circumstance is far more important. We know this from Acts 20:24 and the general counsel of God's word. You see, it's important to remember that death is not a natural reality. This is not what God had designed originally. Death is what comes out of the fruit, the dark black fruit of sin. We know this from 1 Corinthians 15, again, 24 through 26. So you may ask, what happens when a Christian dies? Grudem tells us that if you are a believer, the Bible encourages you not to view your death with fear. You don't have to worry. 2 Corinthians 5:8, Philippians 1:23. No, instead, when Christians die, know this, their souls go immediately into God's presence. Although their bodies remain in the ground or where and how they died, their souls go into the very presence of Creator God. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:8 and again Philippians 1:23. When the apostle Stephen was stoned, we're told that devout men made great lamentation over him. Acts 8:2. And Jesus himself wept at the tomb of his friend Lazarus, John 11:35. So this is important to see so that you don't feel guilty if and when you grieve the death of one that you love. We can know that one has gone to be with Jesus and still miss them greatly. Don't feel bad if and when you have a grieving, either for your own loss or for those of others. I love the fact that Jesus wept. Knowing he was about to draw Lazarus out of the tomb, he wept out of compassion. He knew that the others were experiencing real pain, And even though he would resolve that pain momentarily, he knew that the pain that they felt was real, and he had compassion over them. He wept. We too can have this same sorrow at times. In fact, we're told, but the sorrow felt at death of a Christian is never hopeless. It's never a hopeless sorrow. We know this from 1 Thessalonians 4:13. So while you may experience sorrow, you can do it without ever having to feel the despair of hopelessness. When people who have rejected the claims of Christ die, now here's where the difference comes in. It's eternal and it's tragic. When people who have rejected the claims of Christ die, their souls go immediately to eternal punishment, but their bodies remain in the ground or where and how they died until Christ's return, when they will then join with their souls for a final day of judgment. See Matthew 25:31 through 46, John 5:28 and 29, Acts 24 verse 15, and again Revelation 20 verse 12. This is the hard, real, this is the eternal reality. When Jesus says that there will be a time of separation, that the goats and the sheep will be separated, the wheat and the weed will be separated. This is what we're seeing. This is what the Bible teaches. Therefore, the sorrow felt at the death of someone who we believe has rejected Christ is not any kind of sorrow mixed with hope. There is no good news if and when those who are separated from Christ die. Romans 9:2 makes it clear, and you and I as believers, we should see death of a Christian with hope. We should see the death of those without Christ as absolute horror. It should bring to us this sense of urgent intensity to know what the Bible teaches about death of those who are lost should affect us at our very core. After a non-Christian has died, it would be wrong, says Grudem, to give any indication to others that we think the person has gone to heaven, since that would diminish the very sense of urgency that we should have for those who are still alive. If you and I were to say to people that we believe have died separated from Christ, or say to those around them, well, you know, at least they're in a better place, that's not true. We have no reason to believe that. And in fact, to say something like that in hopes of making the person feel better is actually doing greater damage and harm to them, for it would give to them a false hope that would likely lead them further away from Christ, as opposed to understanding that Jesus is the only hope that anyone could ever have. Now, that's not to say that we're insensitive or that we push people's noses down to the ground and make them feel this pain any worse than they may already, but we certainly don't give false hope. We certainly do not give false hope. You see, the day when Christ returns, when he comes back, that will be the day of final application. That's when the believers will know their great redemption. On that day, perfect bodies will be reunited with our souls. At that point, the Christian's soul and the Christian's new promised heavenly body will be reunited. All believers in Jesus, says Grudem, will receive renewed resurrection bodies just like their Savior. See 1 Corinthians 15:20. See Philippians 3:21. This is one of the greatest promises that we have in Christ, that death has been defeated. If you're a Christian, and if you share with others the blessings of being a Christian, one of the greatest promises we have is that Christ defeated death. Amen. This process that is promised, it's called glorification, because our bodies will receive a new heavenly body, a glory-formed body. Amen. Lastly, Grudem says in this chapter, those who are raised with Christ will forever live in bodies that have all the excellent qualities that God created us to have. Amen and amen.